can see he's rising to the occasion.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
Oh, awesome, baby, with a capital A.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
This is your captain, baby. Hey, come with me.
The doctor is now in.
Welcome aboard. We are broadcasting live today from Miller's Ale House. This is the Las Vegas Aces draft party. The Aces are on the clock here in an hour.
On the clock already?
You guys are on the clock. If I say you're on the clock, you're on the clock. Got about an hour to make up your mind. Bill Laimbeer's in the house. Asia Wilson, Carolyn Swords. Give it up. Las Vegas Aces draft party happening here. T.C. Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM. 1340 AM, and of course, streaming live coast to coast, border to border, wherever you may be on tcmartinshow.com and our LV Sports Network. So, yes, today is the day that season number two kind of officially gets underway for the Las Vegas Aces, because this is the WNBA draft. Officially, it'll get underway approximately, I want to say, about 4:10 or so, and be broadcast live on ESPN2. So we'll be talking Las Vegas Aces, of course, here today. And joining me now to start off the show, the president and head coach, Bill Laimbeer. Back at it again, my friend. Glad to have you here.
Oh, good. Glad to be here. Nice crowd so far, and I'm sure more are going to pile in.
There we go. All right. So, like I said, the Aces are on the clock. The number one overall pick. We've been here before, 3 years in a row. So here in Las Vegas, 2 years in a row, your second year as well. So let's go back to last year and the journey, compare it to this year. About the same, different?
No, much different. Last year, there was everybody knew who number one pick was going to be 3 months, 4 months ahead of time. And that was Asia Wilson, obviously. And we knew that we needed a power forward, and that's what she was. And she was a rookie of the year and all-star and the whole package. So that was an easy one. The 13th pick was a little bit more difficult. We had 13 last year. We took Jamie Nard. That was a little more difficult to figure out, trying to figure out if there's trades involved. But overall, this year we only got one pick, so I took a nap all day today because nothing else to do.
So talk about the process compared from last year to this year. Again, last year everything was new to the city, everything this franchise was. Now you've had a year to settle in, so things a lot more smoother this time now compared to last April?
I don't think so. The draft, it runs itself. You just do your homework on individual players. We had to do more homework last year and for the second round pick. This year, there's only a handful of players that were even being considered for the top pick. So it's been pretty simple. Just got to make sure, what are we looking for? How's it fit our chemistry? And then finally make a decision. Hope nobody jumps in front of us. Oh, they can't. I forgot about that. No.
Come on. There you go. Bill Laimbeer joined us. All right. So the Aces with the number one overall pick, third year in a row, and they'll make that pick a little bit after 4 o'clock here today. So Bill is joining us before he gets back to the war room. Take us through your process and when you started evaluating the talent, when you actually started putting together your draft board.
Well, if it was a normal draft, we were pick 5, 6, 7, or 8. It's much more complicated. A lot of networking on the phone with other general managers to find out what order the draft would go in case you have to trade up or down. But overall, it's just identifying the talent, 4 or 5 different players that will be at that position, and then just go scout them, both from a video, also from a in-person, talking to their coaches or talking to other players that they played with that are already graduated on. So a lot of homework, really, going into it, because you don't want to get a knucklehead come into your team and screw up your chemistry.
How much college basketball did you get a chance to see this year, and did you go to many of the tournament games?
I watched a lot on television, only for the players that I thought would be, what I was looking for. And you see a couple other players that are juniors or sophomores that you want to pay attention to in the future. But overall, I watched all the players are coming from the best teams. So, you watch the best teams. Fun college basketball women's side this year was very exciting, very spectacular. The world's changing there all the time right now, or there aren't the super teams there used to be. A lot of our teams can compete. Baylor,
right.
And you saw Oregon creep into the Final Four this year, so very exciting stuff.
All right. Talk a little bit about the vetting process, the conversations that you have with players, coaches, meetings. Did you go through a whole bunch of this, especially like with
– Yeah.
I know you really can't talk to players, right?
Yeah, you couldn't until they were done.
Right.
Like last night, we interviewed 2 players last night, our final interviews to see, get a final understanding of who they were and them for us also. So, but other than that, no, it's just talking to coaches and players and just doing your homework. It's not rocket science. It's just, you know, legwork.
Right. You don't feel the pressure that having the number one overall pick that, hey, that you have to hit big? Because you hear that a lot with the other sports.
Last year, you seem
very, very calm and cool about
this. Well, last year we hit big because we knew we were taken.
Yeah.
And we knew it was going to be a home run no matter what. This year's different. There are no automatic home runs, and nobody will ever tell you that. There's some projects that can be very good, and there's some talented players that could get in here in the league and struggle because it's a much bigger, faster, stronger league. You just don't know till you see them out there. But I think there's no pressure for a home run. We're looking for glue players, and we're looking for complementary players that can play actually with stars also. But you know, we have a good core group of players, and they're not going to go anywhere for a long time. So we have to get people that complement their skills.
How many players have you seriously considered for this number one pick?
Over the course of time, 3.
Really? Okay. All right. So at what point, because I know you made your decision already.
Actually, 4. I think they're
4.
Back 4.
Okay.
Sabrina Nesky was the 4th one.
Okay. So at what point in time did you actually make your decision?
Well, I suspected such about 2 months ago. And I told Dan, our new general manager, to pay attention to this player a lot more. And I think we came to an agreement probably, I don't know, a week ago, 10 days ago, somewhere in there. We still talk it out even today.
Right.
I said I interviewed 2 last night because there is no definitive overall or overwhelming player. So you still want to keep getting more information, and nothing's popped up since.
Right. How much did you talk to Asia Wilson? Because she's only been in the league 1 year, probably knows a lot of these players and played against a lot of them too. And I guess maybe even Kelsey Plum to a certain degree as well too, because
yeah,
she's 2 years
removed. I ran a couple scenarios by Asia. You know, got her input on one player. Is like, I don't know about that one. And one was, hey, yeah, that's pretty cool. So, you know, you got to ask your star player at times, you know, her opinion. As you said, they've all know each other. They're all basically the same age. They all play AAU basketball and USAB under 18s. So they have she has a good handle, but at the same time, it's not her decision. It's still our decision.
All right. Bill Laimbeer joined us. We're live from Miller's Ale House here in Town Square. We invite you to come on by and join us. This is the Aces Draft Party, and it will be going for the next couple hours, and the first pick will be a little bit after 4 o'clock. So we'll take you all the way up to that. Did you consider trading the pick?
Yes, I consider trading a pick, and you know, your phone still could ring. I don't suspect, and I doubt it very seriously that there will be a phone call here in the next hour and a half where we will make a decision to trade the pick. It doesn't work in our business that way very often, especially this year. It's a lot of people are really nervous about making a mistake. So it's possible, and I would have done it for the right package, but the right package hasn't come along.
Okay. That's why your phone is just blowing up right now as we speak right here.
No,
right?
But that's for other stuff. We have lots of players. We're a very deep team compared to a lot of other ones.
Right.
So there's a lot of players that they know that, you know, aren't going to get necessarily the playing time that they would want. So you don't want unhappy players. So there's a lot of calls going around for, you know, I'll give you a second round pick for this or that.
So what do you feel is the team's biggest need?
The best player available, you know, and try to fit it in. You know, obviously, we have quality players across the board.
Right.
We have a star at the 4. We have two, you know, Plum last year really showed herself a wide number one pick. McBride had not a breakout year, but she had a quality all-star year. So, you know, those are 3 anchors that we have right there. So, and Plum can play the 1-2, and Kayla McBride can play the 2-3. Mm-hmm. Asia's pretty much a 4 unless you play small ball like Seattle did. Mm-hmm. But overall, so, you know, we have some very serviceable 5 players.
Right.
And our 3 position is one that we're going to look at also because with a little depth there. You know, Tamara Young's getting a little long in the tooth. Nard, this is her year that she's going to have to make sure that she performs or she's at risk, and she knows that. So, you know, those are probably our 2 weakest positions, so to speak, as far as the starter or star power.
3 rounds, WNBA draft. You have 1 pick, the very first pick.
Yep.
You got to really like that. Makes it real easy for you too, doesn't it?
Real simple.
So, are you happy with that you don't have a second or third round? Or
it was
how'd
done,
that work out?
It was done on purpose. I knew we had a very deep team going into this year, so why go have a second round pick and a third round pick with absolutely no chance to make this team? I was very fortunate last year to make a trade. I traded our second round pick for this year for Jisoo Park.
Right.
I like Jisoo Park. I think she's going to be a great player in the future. She's 6'6", and she's smart, and she wants to play basketball, and she loves the United States. Whether it's a starting role for her in the future or whether it's a very high-quality backup remains to be seen, but she's going to have a very fine career in this league, and that was a quality pick.
All right. So we know the girl from Oregon led the nation in scoring. She thought a lot of people thought she was going to come on out, but she decided to return back to Oregon. Were you seriously considering her at number one?
You had to because of her skills of passing, her leadership. You know, she's not the fastest in the world, but but she makes up for other stuff. She's very competitive. So we were just talking today that if she had stayed in the draft, we would have had a really, really hard decision. Right. And we probably would have had a lot more phone calls asking about a possible trade.
All right. So number one pick is coming up here pretty soon. I know you're not going to tell us. But if
sure, I'll tell you all day long. Do you want to know?
Yeah, you want to give it to everybody right now who you're going to pick?
Sure. How about Tierra McCown?
That would be my choice.
Or Asia Durr.
Yeah.
Or...
So I want to
Jackie
ask
Young
so
or Arike Ogunbowale.
There we go. All right, so I want to ask
it'll be one of those four.
I want to ask you to break down each one if you can. Okay, let's talk about Jackie Young. She's from Notre Dame. Actually had a really nice NCAA tournament. She's a 6-foot guard, averaging about 15 points per game. Also can rebound the basketball. A lot of people have you taking her lately as she just kind of just came into the fold here that she was going to be draft eligible. What are your thoughts about Jackie Young?
Strong guard, very, very muscular, very, very strong, quick, fast. She deferred a lot to the other teammates in Notre Dame. They had a five-star team where, you know, someone had to eat it, and she did. That's a good trait for a player. You know, and she's got good leadership skills, so that's how I would describe her.
Why is she getting more love than, say, Ogunbowale?
Ogunbowale is a one dimension.
She's a great scorer.
She's a great scorer, but she's a straight up two guard.
Right.
So you can't. She's not a three. She's not a one.
Okay.
So you have to have just a specialty need for a two guard, and a lot of teams do. So we prefer to look for multiple position players.
Would you agree that Asia Durr from Louisville is probably the best all around scorer because she had averaged 21 a game, comes from a solid program.
Yeah, she's the best scorer. She's 2-1. She can play two positions. Patience is her gig. She doesn't take quick shots. She can shake you and get her own shot. It's one of the few players in the game today coming out of college right now that can get her own shot. That's a huge premium. That's why she'll be drafted up in the top three. So you know she's a quality guard.
So I take it that we're probably not going to have two Asians on the roster next year.
Don't know that. you know, if you take it this way, I got a lot of left-handed players, and she's left-handed.
There you go. You do. I think you lead the league in lefties. You know?
I know.
All right, Tierra McGowan, you mentioned her, 6'7 center from Mississippi State, another big-time scorer and rebounder, 18 points a game, 13 rebounds a game. She seems like the best big in the draft. Compare her to the girl from Baylor, Kalani Brown.
Yeah, they're both, I won't call them projects because they're quality players, but they both have a lot to learn and a lot to grow into. Tierra is huge. I mean, she's massive, long, and a shot blocker, rim protector, a little bit of a mean streak to her at times. You know, but she's doesn't show the speed that's going to be required in our league of any to make sure she's a great player. But, you know, she's big and can rebound. Brown has shown well of late. She started off slow this year, a big body, more skilled than McCown, a little perimeter shot, 15, 17 feet. Both of them have to work on their individual post moves game. They both turn around and just throw the ball to basket in traffic. It's going to have to be a slow process for them. It's going to take them at least a couple years before they're able to really get their feet wet.
How difficult is it to just try to pick the best overall player versus filling a need in a position that you may
That's the age-old question for a general manager is which way do you go? A lot of people will say best player available.
Right.
Okay, well, you duplicated, you already have two at that position. Well, that's not necessarily the case. So it's a combination of the two at times. But, you know, filling needs is also a requirement. You may have a gaping hole. We don't have a gaping hole. That's our great ace in the hole right now is we don't have a gaping hole at any position. We have serviceable people and quality people. So we're not under the gun to fill a certain need. We're going to take the best player we think that fits up who we are and what we're about.
All right. Bill Laimbeer will make that pick in about an hour from now, a little bit less than that. So the process, you turn your pick in to the league office. And
yep,
and everybody goes, it, and there we go.
Everybody goes, whoa, look who we took.
All right. Before we let you get out of here, talk a little bit about your number one Las Vegas Aces, the crowd support, Mandalay Bay, MGM Properties. I know we've talked about that a lot during the past year, and now looking forward to year number two.
Yeah, the whole year was what – you know, we had our moments where, you know, we struggled a little bit both on and off the court. But overall, I thought it went spectacular. The arena is wonderful. The people, the fan experience was wonderful. The players all love being here. They think it's great. They enjoy their own company. They have their moments with me sometimes, but however, that's what real business. But I think overall, it couldn't have gone any better than we could have possibly expected. The fans were wonderful. And when you ask Asia coming on next about the fans, she'll say it was great. They all loved it. And even... you know, we're expecting more fans this year to come out to the games, but even the number that we drew last year, they felt like they were on top of you, and it was a lot of fun.
Right, exactly. All right, so any truth to the rumor that we're now hearing that Bill Laimbeer is taking over for Magic Johnson? You're going to the Lakers.
I will never go to the Lakers in my entire life.
Never, right?
Never.
Not even for $25 million a year?
Well, that's not going to happen.
The bad boy is not going to wear any purple and gold. That's what you're telling me, right?
That's correct.
That's good. That's good. All right. All right, my friend. We'll let you get back to it.
Okay.
Always great visiting with you. We'll look forward to the announcement coming up here very, very shortly. And, of course, get ready for training camp and then opening day.
You got
Mandalay
it.
Bay will be coming our way at the end of May here for Memorial Day weekend,
That's
right?
correct. We got to play the Los Angeles Sparks.
All right, my man.
Should be a good crowd.
Good deal. Thanks
Thank
a lot,
you very
Bill.
Much.
Appreciate it.
Take care of Asia.
All right. Bill Laimbeer, give it up for the president, head coach of your Las Vegas Aces in the house here today. We are Miller's Ale House, T.C. Martin Show, coming your way here, Fox Sports Radio. Bill is going to head on back to the war room. Appreciate him coming over here today and giving us some insight. And he knows who his pick is going to be, and we're going to be ready to roll with that. All right, Asia Wilson is in the house. Oh, my goodness. All right, so before we get Asia on, we're going to have to take a little pause for the cause, make you wait a little bit more, and then Asia's going to join us. Carolyn Swords, I believe, she's in the house too. We've got a great packed crowd here at the Miller's Ale House, Town Square. Make sure that you come on by and join the draft party here today. It's happening now, and the first pick for your Las Vegas Aces will take place less than an hour from now. Back with more T.C. Martin Show on Fox.
Hey, guys. It's Asia Wilson from the Las Vegas Aces. I'm here chilling with my man T.C. Martin on the T.C. Martin Show at Fox Sports.
We are live from Miller's Ale House in Town Square. Invite you to come on by. Packed house, drinks flowing. You guys ready for some WNBA draft today? Las Vegas Aces. The number one pick from last year is joining us right now.
Yeah.
The great spokesperson, Asia Wilson, Rookie of the Year.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What's up?
Yeah, this time last year was not at a draft party. I guess I was at the draft. It wasn't
you were. You're back east, New York
yeah,
City, right?
Yes,
right?
Yes. Cold a little bit.
We sported a dress, too, last year.
Yeah. No, I had a romper.
Yeah, a romper. That's right.
Yeah, it was one of the outfits that I kind of have to leave behind a little bit, but
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah. Is it still in your closet right now?
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, my mom has it hanging up in my closet, yeah. So it's nice.
There you go. All right, Asia, take us back 1 year ago.
Yeah.
Your situation, like Bill Laimbeer said, you were a no doubter. Everybody knew that you were going to be the number one overall pick. So let's go back, and I know we've talked about it before on the air,
yes.
But let's since it is like an anniversary here, one year ago, take us back to what you went through.
Oh, man. I mean, it's one of the greatest feelings ever. You know, it's a dream come true. Like, as a being an athlete, you dream of playing at the highest level. You dream of being a professional athlete. So when you're hearing your name call and when it's called first, it just adds just icing to the cake of it all. And I was just greatly appreciated. I'm surprised I didn't cry, honestly, because I am a bucket of tears. But just having my brother there and my dad and my mom all sitting at my table and hearing our president kind of call my name was huge. Like, it was just like a sense of relief because you're like, wow, like I finally made it. But at the same time, you know, you have to work 10 times harder now that it's your livelihood. It's your job.
So now fast forward a year later.
Yeah.
Now you are kind of sitting here going to welcome a new teammate.
Yeah.
And now your head coach and president's kind of asking you for some advice. What's that all?
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Yeah, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to have just someone like Bill Laimbeer just trusting you and trusting your word. And, you know, I hope that I can give some advice, some good advice. But, you know, I'm going to accept in whoever it comes, of course, whoever they are, whatever she is, she's going to be a good aspect to our team. And, you know, you just hope for the best. This is a big day for all of them, so, and it's a blessing. So to have someone like Coach Lambert kind of ask for my word, I'm kind of like, are you serious? Like, I really have a say in this? Maybe I don't, but at the same time, just here trusting me goes to show how great our just program here at the Aces is.
And like we talked about with him, is that, you know, you are just 1 year removed from the college game.
Yeah.
And you know a lot of these players, not only competing in college, but probably played against a lot of them in AAU during the course of that time, too. So I think that, yeah, definitely he's going to take your input big time.
Yeah, definitely. It kind of, I don't feel old just yet, but I'm just glad that I'm not a rookie anymore, so I can call someone else the rookie.
That's right. Exactly. You don't have to, like, bring donuts to people anymore.
Yeah,
nothing
no
like that, right?
Rookie hazing.
No more of that.
I didn't have rookie hazing. I think I had a great set of vets. They
See,
really
you got
looked
privileged.
Out.
You know, yeah, no, number they, one overall really pick, you got privileged. That's it. So what advice could you give the number one overall pick?
The advice I would give to the number one overall pick, I would have to say just be you. Be true to you. Be true to your role. Know your role. And Coach Lambert is going to be a person that tells you your role, so you don't even have to think about it. Just stick to that and trust the process. I think that was my biggest thing, was I didn't want to try too much because I didn't know what I was doing. So to that, have that understanding of having that open mind that you're going to learn a lot, it's just something that I would take in. It's just have an open mind.
How intimidating was it for you, not only just the hoopla that went with being the number one overall pick, but coming to play for Bill Lambert? Was that intimidating for you at all?
Honestly, it wasn't intimidating because I wasn't in the era of the bad boy, so I didn't really know the bad boy of Bill Lambert.
Who'd you have to ask? Had to ask your dad about
that,
right?
They had us kind of watch some film for our intro video, so it was kind of funny.
Seriously, you never heard of him?
I mean, I've heard of him, but it wasn't like, oh my God, like, like, it wasn't that. I knew that I was, like, going to a person that's going to help me grow. That's what I looked at it as. I know that he knows what I'm about to go through, so he's going to help me take my game to the next level, help me grow in situations. So I didn't really look at it as intimidation. I just looked at it like, all right, let's get this thing going.
Right. Now, what about once you started practicing?
Yeah, once I started practicing and kind of just getting into the groove of things, and I think I was more intimidated of messing up. And that's another piece of advice that I would give to anybody that wants to play sports. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to mess up. It's a part of the growth. And I think that's kind of when it kind of shook me a little bit, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm messing up. Like, he's going to just start screaming at me. I don't know what I'm going to do. But at the same time, you know, he knows how to coach his players, and that's what I can greatly appreciate of.
All right. Asia Wilson joined us, the Las Vegas Aces leading scorer last year, number one overall pick, and reigning WNBA Rookie of the Year. Is there a certain player that you would like to see drafted?
Is there a certain player I'd like to see? Honestly,
I mean, did you talk up anybody?
Did I talk
Bill?
Up anybody?
Like, say, hey, you should go after her.
No, because it just changed so many times. I mean, each player had a great game where I'm like, oh, that's
because
it.
You have a lot of relationships. You know what I'm saying? I thought you might be pimping out a Gamecock or something, you know?
I wish, but at the same time, playing with them, you kind of understand, are they ready for that next level? And so you kind of got to have reality kick in. So I honestly wasn't really pushing someone. I just wanted someone to come and just fit in and mesh with us, and which I know they all are going to do.
Right.
And just have fun. Have fun with it. You're a rookie. Now you're in the pros.
What does this team need to be a playoff contender?
What do we need? I don't think we necessarily need anything. No. I think we could want and we could have a lot of things. But, I mean, you got to look at it. We did pretty good last year with what we had, and we didn't even know each other.
Right.
Like, it was like a whole new team, whole new everything, and we still were kind of that game behind just making it to the playoffs. So I think with us, and I mean, if you guys follow my teammates that are overseas, I mean, they're crushing it.
Yeah.
And they are crushing it, and they're playing some great basketball over there. So to see them and then incorporate with the number one draft pick and then myself, I feel like we don't need something,
right?
But I think it's just, we need all of us to be on the same page. We need all of us to be in our roles so we can be successful.
You know, this really is a unique and a crazy situation when you think about 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
You have three number one draft picks on the team. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's the Vegas luck.
I guess so. Exactly. You got yourself. Then you got Kelsey Plum.
Yeah.
And then what? You go back a couple of years. Then when K-Mac was a number two, right?
Yeah.
So this roster, and we talked about it on the broadcast so much last year, this roster is really loaded.
Yeah.
And now you add another number one overall pick. If people haven't jumped on the Aces bandwagon yet, they better get on board.
That's what I'm saying.
Because and you guys did grow as a team in a unit last year as the season progressed.
Yeah.
Nearly, you know, made the playoffs. So yeah. I think, you know, in your opinion, expectations for this season.
Yeah.
What do they like?
Yeah, I mean, expectations for me this season, you know, is making playoffs. But every year I play something or anything that I'm in, I always want to do better than we did last year just as a team. So if that's just starting off better, that will be huge. That's a huge step for us because, like Coach would always say, you know, we always notice towards the end of the season how important those beginning games are because it can really feed off on you later on in the season. So I think just for us, it's just, of course, making it to the playoffs. We would love that. Of course, we want to bring a championship to Las Vegas, but it can't happen overnight. We have to have pieces to the puzzles, and we're getting there. So for me, just making playoffs and winning.
And when you have a 34-game schedule, that's not very much. 17 home games, 34. So you got to get off to a quick start.
Yes, you
can't go through any slumps.
Yeah, you can't. And it's tough because it's hard to be perfect in the game that we play. But, you know, you always want to be dang near perfect. And it's tough. But when we have a great supporting cast like the Las Vegas Aces, our fan base, when they all rally behind us, I mean, it makes us feel invincible. Yeah. And that's what you need.
I know it was a really quick turnaround for you, a different turnaround, even though you were used to playing 35, 36 games in South Carolina because you guys went to the national championship. You went to the Final Fours and that sort of thing. And you didn't have a whole bunch of rest last year.
Mm-hmm.
You always hear that proverbial saying, the rookie wall. Did you hit a rookie wall last year?
Yes, I hit at multiple
what point?
Rookie walls. it seemed like every time I stepped, it was like a rookie wall. I would honestly have to say maybe after All-Star.
Yeah.
After All-Star break.
Did it grind you down a little bit?
It did because it kind of got to a point where it was like, all right, I've been playing since November.
Right.
And when you look back on it, it was kind of tough, and I think that's when I felt myself being a rookie. I think because my teammates really rallied behind me and they helped me out, I never got the rookie feeling. But then when I started mentally thinking like a rookie, I was like, oh, yeah, Asia, you are fresh out of college because you were over here saying your pinky hurts. And it's like, what? But it was just like my body was giving into it. So that's when I felt like I hit that wall. But then later on down the season, a few games after All-Star break, I kind of got feeling back to myself because just mentally I had to kind of get back into the swing of things knowing that, hey, I'm a professional. I don't have time to lay off some things.
You know, I don't ever recall seeing that on the injury report, Asia Wilson pinky. I didn't see a pinky injury last year.
Yeah, I know, so, but I was just thinking
so you
in my
hit
bed
it pretty
sometimes.
Good.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, something hurts.
Asia Wilson in the house with us here at Miller's Ale House, getting ready for the Las Vegas Aces number one overall pick selection in the WNBA draft today. You've had no off season. You start playing in China, okay? Then you came back a little early because I guess the knees and everything. We've talked about that before. And you've been representing the Aces throughout not only just this city but throughout the nation. You've gone back to South Carolina, of course. We've seen you on ESPN doing your college basketball duties for the second year in a row. And props to you, girl.
Thank you. Thank
you've been doing great with that. So talk a little bit about how this offseason has been for you.
Oh, man, this offseason was definitely different. Of course, I planned on playing during the offseason because that's just kind of how we do. But it opened up a lot of doors for me, which I'm very grateful for. I got a chance to start my own foundation with kids with learning disabilities. I got into the commentating role in the SEC and the ESPN side. And then also I kind of got started with my own AAU team, and I had the opportunity to kind of go see them play. So I think this offseason I really capitalized on just my community, just being around. I wish I was in Vegas a lot more to reach out to this side, but back home was definitely something that I didn't get a chance to do because, you know, in college, the NCAA kind of got rules. So now that I'm on my own and now I had the opportunity to form something for my own name in my community at South Carolina, I think it was something special. And then they had this, like, statue of me coming up, so that was always a lot of fun. Just getting in the community, and I think that was what my offseason was looking like, just really digging down and community outreach for me.
Having all of that thrown at you or being involved with at a young age of 22, your number, there you go. There you go. Getting all that and then, you know, the opportunities that you've had. I mean, it's just – and it seems like it made you grow up kind of fast.
Yeah. I didn't have time to slack off, honestly. I wish I could kind of make some crazy mistakes as a 21-year-old, but I couldn't because, you know, I have a brand to protect. I have a name to protect. But I'm all for it. I love the things that I do. I love where I am right now in life. And, you know, the sky's the limit with just with this team. And I think I'm so happy to be back into the swing of things.
How much do you like the broadcasting aspect of it? Do you or not?
I like it. I like it to a certain point where I kind of have to forget that I'm not a player anymore. Yeah. So when I'm talking about girls, I'm like, oh, could have guarded her. And I'm like, oh, Asia, you're a commentator. Let's reel it back in. But I definitely love just the different perspective of it all. I mean, we see the Carol Lawsons, the Rebecca Lobos, right. the players. But being like someone that's just stopped playing and still getting back in it, I think I'm glad that I can kind of be the player's voice in that situation and kind of talk to a person that I'm working with, you know, saying this is how I felt as a player. So I enjoy it.
NCAA tournament. Give me your thoughts.
NCAA tournament.
Let's talk about the men's real quick. So did you watch the championship game?
Yeah, I did. Of course.
Of course you did. What did you think?
Oh, man, I loved it for UVA. I mean, when they're coming off of losing to a 16 seed and for them to come back and win a national championship in overtime, I think that's just – a showing of how great their system is, and just power to those guys. And on the girls' side, I mean, you can't ask for a better game. And I hated for Arike because, you know, she was their savior. She did everything that Notre Dame needed her to do, and then it came up short. And that's a tough feeling, just being an athlete, because you want to be successful. You want to be there for your team. But when you look at it, Baylor, they played a good game, especially with the injured player with Lauren Cox. They really stepped up and changed gears, and that's the sign of a championship team is when you change gears when someone goes down. You know you have to pick up that slack. So I enjoy both games. I wanted my Gamecocks to go all the way, of course, being super biased. But I had like five brackets, and I had USC going to four Final Fours, but it's okay.
What's up with that? Did you ever face Kalani Brown from Baylor?
No, I have not.
Never faced her, huh?
Never faced her.
Okay. Because there were a lot of people that were comparing her to you.
Yeah. I've never played against her. I guess our paths never crossed. Even in AAU and in college ball, I've never played against her.
Your game's a little more smoother. Look a little better, too.
Thank you.
So, do you got a Blake Griffin update for me?
Do I have a Blake Griffin update? I think they're trying to get a playoff push.
Yeah.
They're really kind of in that groove.
You know that's not what I'm talking about.
Blake Griffin push. I don't have anything for you.
You got nothing for me, huh? Okay.
No.
You still crushing on him or what?
Am I still? I can't really crush as hard because I have a boyfriend and I don't want that to overlap.
Yeah, see?
But Blake is still kind of my man crush Mondays. Yeah,
man crush Mondays. You are too funny. But you guys got a chance to actually to meet up.
Yeah, we did a jersey swap. For when they were at All-Star in Charlotte, and that was pretty cool. I had no idea. I was just kind of following our person that's with our league, and I was like, where are you taking me? And I thought I was going to the locker room, so I was like, that's kind of weird. But and I kind of he walked out, and I was like, oh, what? And I didn't have a jersey, but he came out with a jersey. I was like, are we swapping, or is it just like I'm taking? But it was definitely just cool. I mean, he's a cool guy. He's very down to earth, and I love his game, but I love just who he is as a person as well.
All right,
yeah,
Asia Wilson, you have been very, very busy.
Yeah,
Vegas Golden Knights playoffs start tonight.
Ooh,
you know
I saw that. Yeah,
and if you guys don't know, which you probably do. Asia got to go crank the horn at T-Mobile Arena.
Twice.
Talk about that experience.
I mean, it's
Is that crank hard?
It is because, you know, like they had it for the right-handed people and I'm like left-handed, so it's kind of awkward.
Oh, wait a minute. What's up with that?
I know, right? Yeah. But I got a chance to sign the sign, so it was a huge deal. I mean, if you guys haven't been to a Knights game, please go. I mean, the energy in there is incredible. And, I mean, it just goes to show how great – our fans are. Our fan base here in Vegas is. And I just love the atmosphere. So best of luck to them when they're heading into playoffs.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
And no the Aviators. I got a chance to.
I saw that. You were there last night.
The Aviators.
Open up the new ballpark.
Yeah, it was a nice little thing.
See, look how versatile you are.
Yeah. Then I almost ran into a wall with a golf cart and all that good stuff. So we can talk about that
another day. Does this mean you're spending less time at Target now?
Yes, I am. I just got in like 2 days ago, so I'm building up, waiting for my parents to come so they can.
That's the inside joke. When I first met Asia, I asked her, you know, where do you like hanging out? And she didn't mention any strip properties or casinos. No, Target.
Find me at Target.
No
where
kidding.
I get everything from.
No kidding. All right, so what are we going to anticipate here coming up here in the next half hour?
It's a pace.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a lot of fun, guys. Just enjoy it. Don't if it's not who you think, don't over cheer if it's too many.
But
people.
How can you go wrong with a number one pick?
That's
right?
What I'm saying. So we should all just be happy, all on the same page. We're all going to cheer for each other, be there for each other, and that's it.
Let me ask you this:
I'm excited.
Did you throw anybody under the bus? Did you say, "Oh, Bill, don't take that girl"?
No,
Anybody?
Never.
Come on.
No, I'm opening all draftees with open arms.
Well, I know you will, but
I didn't throw anybody underneath the bus because, okay. I mean, you just never know. You never know how they may translate over to the professional game. So I didn't knock anyone off.
Did you campaign for anybody?
Did I campaign for anybody? No, I didn't campaign for anybody. I didn't do that.
I'm just trying to get as much out of you as I can.
Yeah, so. I can. My lips are sealed.
I know. We got to keep it sealed. We will.
Yep.
All right, Asia. Always fun having you here with us, whether it's on the road, in studio. She's a regular on this program. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to seeing you on the hardwood at the Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, exciting.
And I think these fans are ready to see number 22 back in action, too. Could it be maybe going from Rookie of the Year to MVP?
Let's try it.
Let's try it, right? There you go. All right, give it up. Asia Wilson in the house here. Spending time with all these great Las Vegas Aces fans here at Miller's Ale House. All right, Carolyn Swords in the house, the veteran. She's going to join us. And we got all kinds of people here. The draft, it's happening. This is the draft party. Come on out here. Miller's Ale House, Town Square, the place to be. Las Vegas Aces on the clock. T.C. Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM.
Hi, this is Bill Laimbeer, and you're listening to the T.C. Martin Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We are live from Miller's Ale House in Town Square for the WNBA draft. This is your Las Vegas Aces draft party. I want to thank Bill Laimbeer for joining us, Asia Wilson, the reigning Rookie of the Year, and now the veteran is in the house, Carolyn Swords, all 6'6" 3/4". Did I get that right?
3/4.
I don't know.
You can give me an extra 3/4 if you'd
whatever
like.
Whatever it takes, man. I mean, usually I kind of like tower over the guests at 6'2", but Laimbeer, you and Asia?
Yeah.
You guys tower over me. What's up with that?
We just have that effect on people, so apologies.
All right. So what do you think about this?
This is fantastic. I am so excited to see so many of our season ticket members here. Great to see some familiar faces, getting me excited for opening day on the 26th. So really happy everyone can make it out.
All right. So you've been a pro for 8 years between the WNBA and playing overseas. Give us your view of draft day from a veteran player.
Well, draft day is incredibly exciting. These girls' lives are young women. Their lives are about to change. It goes from being... in college, basketball becomes a little bit more of a job. It's dominating your time. But really, it's going from being your hobby to your career. And it's a really special time. A lot of these women will have close family and friends either in studio or within the city. And they get to see, you know, where they get to start their careers. It's really a magical, magical evening.
When you went through it, were you at home? Were you with family? Were you having a draft party?
I was invited to the draft. So I was in ESPN studios in Connecticut. That's where we had it at that time. I had my family with me and had my mom in the studio. And you just sit and wait and... try to enjoy it the best you can while also being incredibly nervous. But then, the moment your name is called, it's life-changing. It was awesome.
So did you have a Aaron Rodgers moment where you, like, sweating bullets, saying, like, when am I going to get picked? What's going on here?
Well, luckily, I think I just tried to, enjoy the moment. And you try not to worry too much about, numbers passing and, had confidence in what was happening. And you just kind of wait your turn.
You talk about going from being a collegiate player to being a pro. And Asia, talked about this as well, too. At what point during this whole process are you starting to think about, hey, not only am I a pro, but now I'm going to start earning some money and I'm getting paid?
Mm-hmm.
When did you start thinking about that?
I think the draft is kind of the first signal of that. And then everything...
Not after you played your last college game or...
Well, when I finished my college season, it then was preparation for what was to come. So knowing that training camp was going to come in, at that point it was coming in May, even though the rest of my team was taking a rest and going into postseason workouts, I was continuing to make sure that I had my fitness, reined in and that I was going to be ready to hit the floor against all these veterans with tremendous experience.
All right, Carolyn Swords joined us. Players Union rep. As well, too. And we've talked about that before. Give us your idea or your statement on where the WNBA is right now.
You know, I think the league is in a really exciting place, as all of you witnessed last season. Any game can go either way. It can come down to a single game to make or break a playoff berth. And I think that makes it incredibly exciting. There's a great product on the floor, great players. Everyone is incredibly strong and talented. So it requires that we have to play at a really high level and play really well together. So I think it's a very exciting time to be in the league, and I'm looking forward to this season.
Are you happy with the television coverage? I mean, you got ESPN as a broadcast partner, so most of the games are either on ESPN, ESPN2, those type of things. Give us your view of that aspect.
I think that type of coverage is great for us. You know, people are used to seeing sports on ESPN and their affiliate channels, and so anytime that we can get in front of a potential new fan, it is a great opportunity for us.
Improvements that need to be made in the WNBA.
You know, we're looking forward to really, you know, continuing to grow the league. There are a lot of, you know, now the women coming into the league, this current class, they grew up watching the WNBA. I think that's life-changing. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're paving the way so that the future generations of basketball players can have a really great and exciting time in the league.
How much have you seen the growth and development of just the players being better now than they were, say, when you came out like 8 years ago or even the last couple of years?
Sure. I'd say, you know, I think they're even taller women now. I think when I was entering the draft or entering the league at 6'6", I was one of the tallest. Now there are several women who are 6'7" and above. You have players like Asia Wilson who are very versatile. So even though she's a post player and very tall, she can put the ball on the floor. She can shoot. Brianna Stewart, Elena Deladon, they're all great examples of that. Candace Parker. I think you have this cool evolution of the game. It's very up-tempo, exciting, still very strong underneath. So great time to be in the league.
All right. So we talked last year after you guys had the travel snafu, and you were very involved in that, being the players rep, that sort of thing. Is that something you think that can rear its ugly head once again, or how do improvements get made from that situation?
Sure. Well, part of the challenge of last season was having such a condensed year with a world championship in September, which Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson got to go compete in. We had to finish the season, I think, in about 12 weeks. This year will be a regular length season, so we don't have to jam as many games into such a short time, and we don't have any back-to-backs on the calendar, so I'm excited about that, and I think that should help avoid those situations.
Your opinion from year one to year two. Talk a little bit about what transpired last year and now looking ahead.
I was thrilled with how last season went. I think, you know, it's always a challenge when you have a new group coming together under a new coach, learning a new system, and on top of that, you know, in a brand new city. But we couldn't ask for better fans. They really showed up for us game after game, so that was fantastic. You know, we had a really fun time learning Bill's system, getting acclimated to one another. So this year it's going to be more just, you know, picking up where we left off. It'll be a little bit more of a reunion in training camp, you know, because we all know each other now. Excited to get back together on the court, and we're just going to keep pushing forward.
If there is a missing piece to this team, what can they possibly add, either via draft or free agency?
Well, you know, I think I'm excited to see how we look in practice. I think, you know, experience is always helpful, but we're all, you know, having a very young team has been really great for us. I think, you know, anyone who's willing to come and work hard, young, old, you know, it'll be a lot of fun. So I think we've got a great culture here. And so we're just looking to build on that and keep moving forward for year two.
When's first practice?
May 5th, training camp.
The date is circled.
May
it's 5th. Ready.
I know everyone's asking, what are you doing on May 5th? Like, training camp. But we're looking forward to it, you know, having some good workouts in the off season. It's nice to have Asia back in town. Right. We got some of the coaches back in town, so things are picking up.
Hopefully K-Mac is back
and
Kelsey. Last year they had to miss the first couple games.
That's right. I think the later start should help that for us. We also want them to do well overseas, so, you know, all the best to them.
Carolyn, you're a great spokesperson for this team, this city.
Thank you.
You've always been great, so we appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you on the floor.
Thanks. Sounds good.
In May. All right. Thanks a lot. Carolyn Swords, give it up. Your veteran, the Las Vegas Aces. Again,
Want to thank Bill Laimbeer, president and head coach, for joining us. Asia Wilson, your reigning rookie of the year. And, of course, Carolyn Swords, make it all happen. And everyone out here for joining us here today at Miller's Ale House, give yourselves a round of applause as we get ready to see who the Las Vegas Aces pick with the number one overall pick. Draft coverage coming your way, ESPN2 on television, so get ready for that. I want to thank Jazzy Jeff for making it happen here. The great people at Miller's Ale House, John Jiggy Maxwell, my man Nick Nice back in the studio, and of course, our partners, the Las Vegas Aces, for making this happen. And we look forward to all the play-by-play, of course, which you can hear yours truly doing on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM during the course of the season starting in May. Thank you guys very much for joining us. We're back at it again tomorrow, 3 o'clock, right here, Fox Sports Radio, tcmartinshow.com. Have yourself a good one and enjoy the draft.